The following is Will Hacker's Talk, The Touchable Desktop, When Responsive Won't Fly, from UX Thursday Chicago. UX Thursday is brought to you by UIE and Vitamin T. For more information and for future UX Thursday events, visit uxthursday.com. That's uxthursday.com.
What I'm going to talk to you about is what I call the touchable desktop. And touchable desktop is just an approach to working with your desktop site and a design approach when you can't use responsive design. This is an example of a desktop site viewed on an iPad, but this is not very touch friendly. So what got us thinking about this was several months back we decided that there was going to be a visual refresh of cars.com. So what you see here is the old cars.com homepage, and this would render the same way in your desktop browser or on an iPad. As you can plainly see, there's a lot of things that are very close to each other and therefore not tap friendly. So one of the things we looked at is, should we go responsive? One set of code, deliver it to all the devices. That's kind of the trend right now. Well, when we looked at the timeline of our project, we realized that responsive wasn't going to work in the time we needed to get something out the door. We also weren't sure, and we're still not sure, if responsive is right for having the same information delivered to all of the devices. So we wanted to work around that and say, okay, what can we do to keep our site tablet friendly? iPad is a huge part of our traffic, so we want to make sure those users have a good experience. So what I'm going to go over is a couple of topic areas you should think about if you're in this situation where you have growing iPad traffic or growing Surface traffic or Nexus traffic, and you want to make sure that it's still a usable experience when you can't rely on full-blown CSS3 responsive design. The first area is thinking of content as navigation. And so how many of you have a tablet? Excellent. So you all know that when you're using a tablet, you're swiping up and down through your email, through your web pages, through Twitter. You're not really playing with Chrome. You're interacting with the content. So content really is the navigation. So I want to show some examples, good and bad, of sites that are handling this. And what Target has done, and this is rendered on an iPad, and they've got this large hero area that is part of a carousel. And to a tablet user, this is something I should be able to swipe through. I sit down, I look at this, I want to swipe. But actually, the way this works is you have to hit one of these little guys. The other challenge with this is that these links are all live. So as you're sitting there and you think about swiping with your right hand, or left-handed if you're left-handed, as you swipe through, you can have misnavigation because you've touched something that you weren't intending to touch. You're actually trying to get to the previous screen. And so now here's Chevy.com or Chevrolet.com. Chevy, what they've done with their site is they've made it both touch-friendly and desktop friendly, kind of with the same code. So you would see this page on your iPad or on your desktop computer page. And one difference between Chevy and Target is this hero area is swipeable. So I can swipe forwards, backwards. I control what's on there. They also have these little affordances for the desktop user to go ahead and click with their mouse. So it serves both the desktop and a tablet user. Another interesting thing to note is they have some videos that they want you to play. And these are really the commercials that they're putting out in the market right now. Well, if you think about swiping, what you could easily do is actually trigger the video. And you might not want to watch the video. So they've kept the video spots fairly small. And perhaps by design, they kept them over in this area, since a right-handed user is more likely to be swiping in this area. I'm not sure they did that, but it seems like a little thought was put into the way Chevy approached their tablet design. Something that they kind of missed is they have this lower area, and that is not swipeable. So even though they've taught you up top that you can interact with the content, in the lower panel you can't. And I guess that just shows there's always room for, you know, improvement. And then what they've done with their video, if I were to tap on one of those videos and get in there, they've brought it up. In the iPad, it's almost full screen, not 100%. It's mobile-friendly video. It's HTML5 capable. And they give you the ability to actually take it into a full screen mode if you want to watch the video that way. So again, this was designed clearly to be used by a tablet user and have a good experience. Back to our redesign work at cars.com, about 2 weeks ago we launched a new homepage, and that's sort of the first step in a whole redesign project that's going to be going on over the next couple months. And what we did on our homepage is we have this hero area where we can promote different content, auto shows, new vehicles. And we did it so that it could be used both by the desktop user and by the tablet user. So tablet users can just swipe through that content. So one of the things to think about if you're approaching a project where you have to do a tablet-friendly design is to learn about gestures. And if you have a tablet yourself, you obviously know what a lot of those gestures are. Luke W. on his website has a really neat gesture guide. It's much more than what you see here. It goes on for several pages. And so I've got the URL in this slide deck, which will be made available. You should take a look at that and educate yourself a little bit on some of the expectations that users are bringing to your site when it's experienced in the tablet. So the next area to think about is tap targets and white space. And what a tap target is essentially where the finger meets the glass. And the thing to really consider when you're thinking about tap targets and white space, it's really simple. Make the tap targets large and use enough white space so that the tap targets aren't too adjacent to each other. That way you're not having misclicks or mistaps and giving people bad navigation experience. So here's an example from Mint.com. And I'll draw your attention to this little red dot there. This is Mint on the iPad, and that dot is the approximate size of my index finger. And so if you look at the way they've spaced even some sort of secondary content, it's still done in a manner that's very friendly for the fingertip. So not only did Mint focus on the key thing they want you to touch, but they even addressed some of these little things. And further down the page, they kind of keep that going. Very few targets, good use of white space, very simple design. That's another sort of unintended benefit of designing for tablet and for touch, is that you actually start creating simpler sites that are easier to use, and you start to get a better site experience. So this is Fitbit. And again, here's my imaginary fingertip. And on Fitbit's homepage, they've basically simplified the navigation. They've made it very finger-friendly. If you go to Fitbit.com on a desktop computer or on a tablet, you're going to get this page.